like you're on a roll. Suitcase without the clothes, like a heart without a soul. But I know you feel with gold, yeah. And I know you had your moments, but he'll never leave you lonely. Even when the situation get hard, he'll always keep coming. Say you do it for the money, but where the money keep going? When you get on top, the money slip right from you. But he got a plan for you, something bigger than we asking for. Sometimes we get mad at the Lord, cause we don't realize that life is a war, yeah. Some days a little sunny, some days a little rain. Some days more love, some days more pain. But even in the pain, even in the rain, he will always know your name. Even in the pain, even in the rain, he will always know your name. Yeah, yeah. Somebody loves you. Yeah. I know he loves you. Yeah, so look, it's time you start taking one day at a time. I mean, if you try to focus on too much after today, see, that's when the problems start creeping in your mind. You need to focus on right now. And right now, you're doing just fine. Yeah. Not too late to start over. I think it's time we begin. Every decision that you make can make a better ending. Running for the road, running, running like you're running, running for your soul. Finally find who you are, now you really feel whole. Now you're starting to set some goals, cause your life filled with more. And you know you're not alone, cause he done made you feel strong. Now he about to put you on, get your shoulder lean on. Tell you just hold on, cause it won't be long. Everybody face a trial, and some do it with a smile. One thing you gotta know is God will love you when you're dying. Even when you messed up, his love will come back around. Even when you messed up, yeah, his love will still come around. Yeah, yeah. Somebody loves you. Yeah, I know he loves you. No matter what you did, what you done, I know he loves you. I know he loves you. See, he gonna be with you through the thick and through the thin. I can testify. Yeah. God loves you. Yeah, he loves you. He got a plan for you. And he still got his hands on you. Yeah. I know he loves you. He loves you when you're done wrong. He still loves you. When you messed up, don't know what to do, I know he got a plan for you. Yeah. I say he loves you. God loves you, loves you, loves you. I say he loves you.
Well, welcome, family, to Real Talk with Pastor E and myself and Minister Carolyn Hamilton, Minister B. But yes, this is Real Talk with myself, and this is about real discussions, dynamic principles based on the messages and our worship to God. No matter what we do, our standard. Yes, we are fully devoted to Jesus. We believe that the door of salvation is always open to those in search of the truth. And yes, with open arms, our ministry demonstrates God's love and concern for our fellow man at every opportunity that we get. And yes, through works of charity and by actions of love, we feel that we are walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. And yes, we will reach the lost and unsaved of this world. Amen. Amen. But welcome so much this morning. I just want to celebrate Jesus. I just want to say thank you, Father, for being in our midst, Lord. Thank you for giving us the strength not to move mountains, but to climb, Lord. Thank you that it's not by power and it's not by might, but it's by your divine spirit that, Lord, we're moving in your direction. As I was studying this morning, family, I looked at a vivid parable of Jesus that he ever spoke of, and a lesson that is so crystal clear that God will judge us according to our reactions to human need. That's going to catch up to somebody in a minute. See, those who helped did not think they were helping Christ, and thus they thought they were piling up eternal merit. But Jesus confronts each and every one of us with that wonderful truth that all such help given is given to himself, and such help withheld is withheld from himself. See, the way to delight the heart of God is to help his children, our fellow brothers, our family. Who is our neighbor? What are we called for? What are we called to bring new hope and opportunity in that atmosphere of unconditional love and compassion? So those who are brokenhearted, so those that have been abused, so those that have been exploited, those that have been wounded can rebuild their damaged lives. We are here not for ourselves, but we are called to restore the self-respect of those who have been humiliated by what has happened to them. So we pray today, dear God, help us to think of the needs of others as much as we think of our own. Heavenly Father God, open our eyes and our hearts and our hands to honor you by welcoming those who are hungry and thirsty, abandoned, lonely, refugees, poor, and sick. We pray this right now, not for any recognition or for any accolades, but Lord, that you get the glory, you get the honor, and you get the praise. So we magnify you and we lift you up right now in your Son, Jesus' name. And all in agreement said, amen. See, family, as the deeper I go into how us as believers can really be effective. See, counselors get more calls than we do. Guidance counselors and all these other services. And I believe me, I support every area that's out there to help. But I'm talking to us as the body of Christ this morning, as before we go forward in our broadcast, is that what are we as the church not doing? See, domestic violence is enormous in not just black communities, or in every community. It's a proven epidemic of proportions. Every 15 seconds, we've told you, a woman is beaten in the United States alone. Now, let me just change that geographic for you. That's in the United States, where women have a lot of respect. But let me tell you about some countries that I've visited where women have no rights. Well, women are treated as servants and are still put into different situations. So if we looked at it from a world aspect, there is much more that we're not talking about. But just in our own backyard, one in three or four women, 30% is battered once in their lifetime. Imagine one out of every three or four women that you know have been beaten. See, while 58,000 U.S. soldiers died in Vietnam, 54,000 women were killed by their partners in the U.S. See, it is as we said, an epidemic of proportions. And our, not our heart of passion, our heart of mind should go out to now look at how we can be more effective to provide freedom from violence. We're not just talking about one form. We want to really open this thing up to all forms of violence. And yes, domestic violence is a major thing that they have a yearly celebration over. But the Bible says violence begets violence. There must be the root that has to be take it out. That weed must be cleansed out before we'll ever see any kind of change. And I believe that it's going to take some Christian gardeners. It's going to take some dynamic leaders to take part in the talk, in the discussion, and in the results of stopping this epidemic of mass proportion. Oh, they talked about that, when they dropped the bomb, it was of epic proportions of death. Oh my God, bodies burning. And oh, but look at the epidemic that we have right here in our faces. People right next door, people we've known all our lives, No matter black, white, rich, poor, domestic violence is destroying families, and it's inflicting suffering on women and their children in every community. But here's side note number one this morning. Men are also victims, but only a minority of victims are men. So today we want to really just keep horned in about women until then men come out. I'm calling them out. Come and talk. Come on. You. I've had some people to say, yes, that's happened. Yes, that's happened. I shared in the beginning of some experiences that I had because of being in the wrong place at the wrong time and not seeing the signs and not listening to that inner voice saying somebody's going to get hurt. But we need our brothers to speak out. But women who are still the mini victim, the largest number. And many women today, I'm learning, are not even aware they're victims. They may think their husband is just angry or something not going right at work and he's just so strong-willed. But you didn't see that in the beginning. See, that's where we as the next-door neighbor, the sister, the brother, need to be more aware to be about the truth and say, that is not right. And not just to one behind closed doors, but to be so willing to invest in that family and say, you guys love each other, but something must be done, and I'm going to stand here. I'm going to stand here until you do something. Oh, and then many people get afraid of now violence coming on them, and now it could pour over into their lives. Well, we have not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and sound mind on not what we do, but how we do it. I'll tell you a little change if I could just give an example this morning, because I growing up and in the hood, and boy, you try to break up a fight, you'll get hit by both people. First of all, don't put your hands on anybody. Number two, don't take sides. And number three, stay away. Don't get too close. But communicate clearly that this is not healthy. And because of my care for both of you, I demand that you just take a deep breath. Oh, no, there are ways to communicate without getting the recourses, because I've experienced them both ways. And now I know how to diffuse a situation, not by what I do, but by what I say, and definitely how I say it. And then I looked a little farther, family, and I said, well, maybe why are they people so unaware? Well, most people don't know what the definition of domestic violence is, or what is that pattern of behavior of control over a person or another. See, abusers are different in so many different ways, but it all boils down to exercising their power and control. It may be the form of physical, verbal, emotional, economical, and sexual. See, physical abuse is the one that we recognize, because there is a bruise or a cut or a busted lip. But when we look into emotional abuse and we look into a sexual abuse and we look deep into what abuse really is that, first of all, I must be aware. And so much you. We see it right there, but we ignore. We must acknowledge that woman is in trouble. I know you don't know her name. I know you only see her at the grocery store. I know you only see her at the washateria. But I know that we need to be more like God when He says that we should love our neighbors as we love ourselves. I must not look at it as just that I'm going to love them from afar. I must now not want to see anything wrong happen to them, and be willing to know that my calling is to share the uncompromisable love of God so He gets the glory. And now people can stop making excuses. The statistics say that domestic violence is a learned behavior. The Bible says violence begets violence. Don't you know it started somewhere? But has anyone ever stepped in and said, you know what? Let me stop the cycle. Let me come out of the closet. Let me get away from being fear, because I want to live again. And I want the people that are connected to me to live again. See, abusers will always excuse themselves by blaming it on alcohol or drugs, or claiming it's stress related, no, we cannot allow excuses. We have to come with solutions, and that's what Real Talk is about for the whole 52 weeks of 2008, the season of 2018, that we help those that are in the crutches of economic independence. Excuse me, not independence, dependence. A lot of women are victims to not feeling that they could leave or say anything because they cannot support themselves and their children. They believe they have to put up with the violence in order to service their economical needs. The other portion of women are abused. I mean, are embarrassed. They don't want anybody to know that they made a wrong choice in this man. They don't want anybody to know that you were right. All of your warnings and all of your signals were right. They're embarrassed. And some women have been internalized with abuse so hard that they believe that this is how it's supposed to be. And now they fall into the spirit of incompetent and useless and unable to earn or manage money, and even ugly and unpleasing. When they met the man, they were beautiful, but now they've been so degraded. Self-confidence and self-esteem have been destroyed. She feels worthless. How can she tell you? But you see it written on the wall. I want to read this scripture, and then we're going to go into our broadcast, but I want us to look at the areas, and every week we're going to open up with this, and we're going to give some areas that we can leave here. Take notes. I need everybody that's covenant with us and that's willing to grow with us and willing to share with us, get you a journal on violence, that now you are hearing some stuff that says, oh, wait a minute, I could do that. That was some good advice. Because what God has for me is for me, but what God has for us, we must start to share and be in agreement and utilize. And there's a lot of ministries, not throwing stones, I'll be the first one, that have not talked about it and not screamed about it. We did it and we've been on social media for 7 years. We've been preaching for over 30. But we only do this once a year and maybe twice a year, or when it happens to somebody, oh my God, or when tragedy comes through, or when the issue happens. No. God is calling us to be everyday ready. Yes, we only have a weekly broadcast, but that's 4 to 5 times a month that we're coming together for awareness and for acknowledgement that you can do better. We have to speak out against it, but we must do it very strategically. I was talking to a brother this morning. He said, oh man, we preach on that. I said, whoa. Yeah, we have an arena for that, but we have to be more open to stop preaching that, folks, and listen. Most people don't speak because they've been bombarded with God will fix it. God is going to make a way. Yes, he will. But you must first get out of the way of the situations that are hindering us. God can't fix it when we fix ourselves. And it takes us as believers. I'm talking to my believers today, my covenant folks. I'm talking to us to do more. I'm telling you right now that most people say, man, you're doing a great job. But I can do better. Man, look what they did for you. I mean, that's nothing. That was just me to say introducing Jesus. Look what you can do when you do for Jesus. Because you're not looking for the accolades. You're not looking for your name. You're just doing Jesus. And then when it comes, you still stand there and say, I just want to say, introducing Jesus. Look at what you just did for Jesus. You're acknowledging that when he is working in me, you can see it on the outside. Oh, my God. Can somebody see the revelation of a hope to a thing come to existence? That I'm not just believing and walking on faith. I'm seeing my faith come to to fruition, not by power and might, but by the Spirit of God, I can still do more. And I'm going to do more. And I'm going to shout louder. And I'm going to, every situation, even walking down the street, I said to somebody the other day, I said, are you hurting? Sitting on the bus stop crying and you see the tears coming. I said, are you hurting? Can I just tell you that? I know you may not want to hear a sermon because I don't have a sermon for you, but let me tell you about just this one name that could change everything you're going through right now. And by the time the spirit was so heavy, she started to sit up. She wiped her face, and I said, it's just Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. With him, I believe you can have peace. And the whole atmosphere started to change. But are we willing to open our mouths and say something? Matthew chapter 25, verse 35. Jesus says, for I was hungry and you gave me food. Was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, we did not see you hungry and feed you or thirsty or give you drink. When did we see you see a stranger and take you in or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. See, when we start to have to look at who we're doing it to or for, but who we're doing it, we know that it's only for the glory of God. We're not trying to impress. We're not trying to overtake. We're trying to just introduce Jesus to the situation. And everything will be all right when we stick with Jesus and we allow Jesus to move through this situation. Oh, yes, we need God like never before, especially in this time right now. We need God like never before because, believe me, as we're launching, as we're growing, and as we're coming closer and building bonds across the nation to say, no, I'm in this state. Call me if something comes up. Oh, no, we're taking down numbers and we're taking down applications and requests of people across the nation that will say, use me. I've been empty. I've been filled. And now use me. Throw that at you again. Empty me, Lord. Fill me, Jesus, and use me, Holy Spirit. Oh, my God. Now I'm ready to be available. And are you willing and ready to be available? So, Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this segment of the broadcast. And now, Lord, we honor you and everything we're about to talk about, everything that we're about to say, everything that's going to be petitioned today, any testimonies that may come from this conversation, Lord, that you still can show us the way. And that way being Jesus, that way the truth, that way the light. And in the light, I can be changed. So have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to bring in my co-host, Minister B, out of Sisters Working Against Gang Violence. Good morning, woman of God. How are you this morning?
Praise the Lord. Good morning, Pastor E. And I have to say that I'm blessed and highly favored. He kept me another day, and for that I'm very much grateful.
Amen. What you got going on today? Brother Wyatt should be on board. I see his number.
Yes,
and,
sir.
I wanted to give you an opportunity for your segment. I don't know if you want to bring him in now, or did you have something you wanted to start with?
I think it's something I've been dealing with, and it's been a challenge, and I've been talking to you, and maybe we could open a forum with when you're a victim or the family of a victim. Moving on is always so hard, and I hear myself echoing. Let me try to turn. Okay, is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, so moving on is so hard when you've been victimized or when you feel like something has been taken from you. And this may be something that Mr. Wyatt could expound on as well. How do you deal with it? because I was at a point, and I have to keep it honest. You know that I'm always so very transparent, that even being a minister, we go through challenges, and it seemed like the more of our lives that we give, the more Satan comes to attack us. So right now, I'm dealing with the aftermath of being a victim, like the anger and the frustration, and then the, where are the people that I helped? Why aren't they here supporting me? And why don't they have my back? And you brought so much clarity to me yesterday. But it's so hard for the people that don't have the Pastor E's to call, as you were saying. You know, people want to be talked to and not preached at. Where do we go? And that's why we also need more people to call in on these lines to get the help that we need, because doing this show, it is therapy. And helpful for me. And when we first began, Lord and behold, I never thought that I would have been a victim a couple of weeks later after we started. But right now I'm at the hurt and frustration. But we need to try to find a way to let the people know how to find peace, where to find peace. I now know, and what should they do about the people that hurt them. I don't know if
that's
Mr.
important.
Wyatt
that,
might have
yeah.
something to say on that.
Let me hold on. Let me get him up. Hold on 1 second. I just want to make sure. All right. Good morning, Brother Wyatt. You're live on Real Talk. How you doing today, sir?
Good morning. I'm blessed. I'm glad to be here to see another day. How you doing? How you doing, Sister Carol?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed.
Yeah. Always blessed, my brother.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all having me on again and everything. It's a blessing to be speaking about this. And Pastor, you said a mouthful when you were saying stuff about the domestic violence stuff spread. It spread like cancer. I mean, it's like we got to stop somewhere. I don't know, but hopefully our message and what I'm doing, trying to do, it'll be the beginning of a great ending of domestic violence and everything.
Now, the organization that you're starting there, tell us again.
It's called Dads Against Domestic Violence.
All right, Dads Against Domestic Violence. Okay.
Yes,
and
yes,
you want to share anything with that? Put that out there, because we want to. You don't have to be. You don't have to live in his state. We can be Dads mm-hmm. Against Domestic Violence nationally, and we if we link
exactly.
in and we start talking nationally. I'm really. This is one of the things that I really believe God is about to birth out of this whole thing is that. Throughout our nation, we know where to call. We know you just said it. That where's all the Pastor E's? Well, let me tell you, my phone don't ring enough. But hold on, Minister B, before you give out the number you have, you can call the hotline anytime. The P2P hotline at 562-413-3710. And I'll be available to talk to anybody the same way I talk to you and anybody else that we mentor. And then we're also about to bring back another teaching segment to the Now Network on Wednesday night. We're going to be pausing the news for a while because we're going to take Money Matters on the last Tuesday. And then Minister Terry is going to fill in on the fourth Thursday with What's the Word or whatever the Lord is about to launch with her. And we're bringing Finishing Strong to the network 6 p.m. on Wednesdays, 8 and 9, that there's more teaching, there's more opportunity to talk about some of these areas that we really need to expound on. So we want to be available, but we need other people available too, and we need to link up across the nation with Dads Against Domestic Violence. Let's not just do it in one place. Let's make this thing explode. And it can only do it can only explode if we do it together.
Right.
So what do we need to know? What is the format of it so far, my brother, that we could start to pray about? And let's, I want to link with you offline so I could get some more information and help you from our arena to see what we can do to assist you.
Well, the message is that I want to get across is be more aware, know the signs, and be aware, don't be a victim of domestic violence. I mean, if you know the signs and you know, and you got family members, brothers, whoever, you need to allow them to let them know. And
yes,
just like you said, I don't want this to stop here. I want the community, the nation, the world to know about this domestic violence, because it's getting out of hand. I just would like for men where you live at across the world to come together, and being that I'm organizing this organization, you still can stand up for this organization as dads, as men, and put a stop to men beating our women and vice versa, and with the kids, and the kids are the victims too. And that's where we got to come together as a community to stop that, because like Minister Carolyn said, the pain and the anger, it never stops, because I'm angry. I'm angry as a parent. And sometimes some of my days are worse than others, and I don't know how to deal with it, but my strength comes from the man above and knowing that I got to be strong for my kids and my remainder and my grandsons, which he go
yes.
through it. I mean, he go through it because
yes.
he was there. And to see him go through it, I lived through that whole thing over again in my mind and stuff, watching him shake and whatever he may do.
Oh, my God.
And it's like I'm there, but I'm not. But being that he is so a part of me because of my daughter, I am there. And it's a hurting feeling because I don't know what to do concerning him other than to console him. And being strong
for
myself.
What's his whole name?
Darrell Williams Jr. That's his whole name.
We're gonna definitely pray for him daily, and
yes.
And uplift that name. We are in the. Oh, we just gonna throw Darrell Williams Jr. into the portion room. If anybody doesn't know what the portion room is a place that we just give freely to God, that He can heal, that He could protect, and that He could set the captives free. And in the name of Jesus, yeah, we want to definitely connect and more of effective ways across the nation. We have to be more as men. I'm talking to the brothers right now. We have to be more aware to stop some of this stuff. You know, now I'm telling you from, and a lot of us are from the hood. It's hard to walk up to some of these youngsters and say, "Hey, man, that ain't right." Because
exactly.
Before you know it, they didn't pull their gun out. No, oh, man, please, let's not go there. Oh, let's not go there. That happened to me on Long Beach Boulevard. I say, youngster, I say, hey, man, I say, ooh, you see God all on my clothes, and I know you can still shoot me and do what you do. I said, but let's not go there, because you're going to start something, man. You're going to have these streets going wild. I said, I'm from here, too. I said, people are going to say, Pastor, he was out there trying to help. I said, let's not go there. Put your gun up, please. That man, he put his gun up, because I said, put your gun up in the name of Jesus. That nobody gets hurt, not you, not me, nothing like that. But you can't just walk up on some of these young men and try to tell them nothing. So the effectiveness of it has to come by us joining and getting stronger together. That it's just not one out there on solo. Brothers cannot ride solo trying to help somebody, because it's hard. And so we want to partner up in that area. Anything, Minister Carolyn?
Oh, Pastor, you just said something, and that was something that I learned from with my ordeal. It's a lesson that I felt God was teaching me. When you said that you walked up on someone and they pulled out a gun. And well, if you had had something on you, you could have pulled it out too. But you said, don't do that. You know, in the name of Jesus, put your gun. And I'm thinking on a constant, what could I have done different to stop the crime that I was in? But then that opens up a whole new thing about, and what we don't want is for women to say, what did I do wrong? Or what could I have done different? So these are, you know, everything is like rolling in my head, but a lot of women think that it's their fault.
Right.
A lot of people, a lot of women think, well, if I hadn't have said this, or if I hadn't have done this, he wouldn't have slapped me upside my head. It goes to say what, something similar to what you said previously, a little while ago. And we have to let them know that it's not your fault. It is not your fault. And in another epidemic that we're having that I noticed this week are these guys that are incarcerated. Some of these guys that are incarcerated are scaring the women. Even when they come home, the women have been battered and beat so much, and then the guy goes to jail and he threatens them like, when I come home, I'm going to do this to you. And I'm going to do, and that's supposed to keep them in check. And then the guy comes home and they go through the whole ordeal all over again. So that's starting to be a very, very big thing. And I personally watched it a couple of years with a guy from my neighborhood. He had a girlfriend, and if she looked at a guy, he would slap her, like in front of everybody that was out there, and nobody would come to her aid. And at that time, you know, I was bold enough, and I'm like, slap her one more time, and I'm going to slap you. And he was like, go on, Bubbles, with that. But I'm just saying, where were the men out there? These girls claiming these neighborhoods, so that means all these guys that are standing around, they're your homeboys. Why they didn't do nothing? Why they didn't stand up? You know, and to me, that's what I do now. And even more so since we started this show. I go through the hood, and I stop, and I see it. If I see something, I back up because they all know me. So, you know, I can put myself
please,
in that
look,
place.
Look, check this out. Hey, please break that down. Can you in your hood, not
right.
just in
you can't
hood.
Go to anybody that I wouldn't come to Compton to
just
do
like,
it.
You know, I was in my hood. Don't just go to a hood. Please don't do that. I don't care how much Jesus you got on your shirt. You better not go to a hood. People
you
don't know
don't
you.
Don't go to somewhere you don't know. So my thing is, where are all the these guys? And like Mr. Wyatt said, I mean, it's a time for these guys to stand up, these fathers to see the signs. And I'm telling you, my father was 80 when he passed away. But if he seen something go wrong with us, he was grabbing his shotgun. And a lot of times that's why I didn't tell him, because I didn't want my dad to get in trouble because of me, by me messing with someone else. But by me having that kind of mentality, I could have gotten killed by not telling my dad.
Right. Right.
So we need these young ladies
that goes
to tell
back to,
their dad.
Well, that goes back to us as men. We had to speak louder, and we have to get on the same accord. I mean, it's hard for – I'm just telling my brothers, really. It's hard for us to get together and stick together, and we have to do better at that. I see the growth happening here on the network throughout the nation. That there's some numbers that could be called right now. We coming strong, but we need stronger. We need numbers. We need the agreement of each and every one of us to go to another level. That's just not to have a broadcast or a talk show or a platform, but to use the platform to reach everybody and to try to get everybody involved in this thing where more voices can be heard. So I know God is going to work this thing out. What do you have going on this weekend?
I also wanted to ask Mr. Wyatt, the march that he was planning. Could he tell us more about that? Because that's something that myself and another person from our organization, we were looking at tickets already. But is that a go, or could you tell us on the show now more about the march?
I got a young brother, well, you know him, Minister, Mr. Charles Willis. He's looking into see where we can have it at. I know we can have it, but he's looking into where we can have it at so we can have parking space and people won't have that problem returning to their cars and everything. We have to look at all of that. And but yes, it's still, matter of fact, it's still a goal for the 20th. We're looking on the 20th instead of the 20th, the 22nd, with the next month.
The 20th yes, of February or
February,
March?
Yes, February.
Oh, where I'll be out of town. I thought it was March the 20th.
No, because her birthday is on. I'm trying to do it during her birthday weekend on her birthday. If I
can. Right, our birthdays are the same time. Mine is the 25th of February.
Yeah, her 22nd. Yeah. So we're trying to do it in there. So I got a lot of people that say they want to participate in the march, and it's going to help me with this Jazz Against Domestic Violence, because that's going to be really what it's for, for justice. I mean, get justice for my grandson and my daughter, but at the same time, let people be aware of what's going on in your community, in your neighborhood, all over the world and stuff. So that's my goal for that. I want to have a couple of speakers there to speak out as far as females that have been through that. Because I talked to a young lady today, me and her friend, and I've been talking to her about 3 weeks now, and all of a sudden she just told me today she went through the same thing, but she was scared. She didn't want to tell nobody, because she didn't want to lose her husband, because she tried to keep them together as far as a family. And as I'm listening to her, I'm saying that what my daughter did. My daughter did the same thing because she didn't want to tell nobody, and she didn't want to get nobody involved because she didn't want to lose her marriage, but at the same time, she's going through all that turmoil and abuse physically and everything, and on the inside. And then when you come on the outside, you try to hide it, and which you some can hide it. Point is like putting on makeup; you can hide all them blemishes and everything.
So
that's how it was. So when I told her, I'm like, you can't do that. Because that's when you think it's going to get better, and you're going to end up in a hospital
or laid
in the casket.
Yes.
And that happened with me at home with my parents. My mom and dad used to argue and fight all the time. And it was 9 children, but my mom only had 2, myself and my sister, that lived with my dad. And all the other kids thought that, I think there may have been a little envy because my father stayed with me the longest. Like, he was in my life all the time, but he wasn't in theirs. And I'm like, it may look pretty, but it wasn't pretty being a 5 or 6 years old, watching your dad cuss and holler and call your mom out of name and hit her, and she's shooting at him, and being a little girl trying to get in the middle of them and crying and saying stop, or everybody leaving and leaving you there with your daddy, and me having to pick him up because he's drunk and try to sit him down. It was tormenting. But my mother stayed, and she kept saying, when this youngest one turned 18, I'm gone. And it was only by the grace of God that somebody didn't get killed in that relationship. But when I turned 18, she didn't leave. She left when I was 19. But she did leave. It wasn't that they didn't love each other. They just couldn't live with each other. And they never divorced. They're buried together. It was just something about them clashing. And the liquor, the alcohol, plays a big, big role in things, because when I got older, I found myself being my dad. And I was belligerent and I was mean to my friends, to my siblings, anybody that came at me. I began to be that person. But I'm not noticing it until now that we have this line. It's like I'm going back down memory lane, and I'm thinking, like, what did you do? How did you act? You know, so it's not just for men. We have some aggressive women that are out here that are hitting men, that are beating men, because I had a man say something to me that was so foul, and I said, I'd be wrong if I slapped the hell out of you. And he was like, that's what you're not going to do. And I'm just thinking about that now. And I slapped him. It was not my place to put my hands on that man. And so it's like, I am that person too. I could claim victim all day. But in some aspects, I was the batterer. And I have to admit it, because I want God to help me. I want him to remove everything within me. Now, somebody may have made me like that, but I took it and ran with it. And I became the person that hit me and beat me was. So we need the women that were wrong to go seek help. I checked into an anger management class after my last ordeal. Because had I not got angry and jumped up and argued with this person, maybe I would have got hit in the head with a hammer. I should have just smiled and said, okay, I'm a pray for you. But when you come from the street, that's so hard for you to do. But I bet you next time that's what I'll do.
But that's a growing process. And look at the protection that was on you. You needed that ordeal is over, because God moved and did some miraculous things in there. And so we're just grateful for what God is doing. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We got a couple of minutes left, about 9 minutes. We're going to give an opportunity. If somebody has a comment or something you'd like to say on this broadcast dealing with violence in the whole, but definitely about domestic violence right next door. Dial one right now. We want to bring you in, let you get an opportunity to share on this broadcast before we end this week. Minister Terry, good morning, woman of God. How are you?
Good morning, beautiful family. Blessed. I am blessed. You know what? I was listening to you guys, and you guys had just the dialogue so much in there. But I was listening to Brother Wyatt, you know, when he was saying his daughter, and he was saying, and any woman, they cannot cover up bruises and the licks. But I think a lot of the women, they have a fear. They have a fear of discussing it with, and they have shame of discussing it with someone. But they have to realize, they have to realize that one lick, that one hit, their life can be taken away from them. So that first hit, that's a tell, hey, it's time to get out of this relationship, because once it'll probably be a habit. So, and then I was listening to you, Minister Curlin, when you were saying, you know, you and women do it too, because I've had a cousin up north, her husband, she had a good husband, worked and everything, and she didn't do anything but stay home and take care of the children. But she was so verbally abusive. She talked to him like he had a tail on him, and, you know, verbal abuse hurts also. Yeah. So there's so much. This, like Pastor E was saying, this abuse, domestic abuse right next door has to continue, because there is power and there's life and death in the tongue. Ooh, yes. And then also, we have to just change the way we think. And
Amen. Minister Terry, hold on, let me change this stuff here. Minister Terry, her call dropped off. So, amen. And we knew what she was saying, that she was in agreement with everything that had went forth. Area code 858, last 42359. You're live on Real Talk with Pastor E and Minister B.
Great morning to you guys. This is Ali calling in.
What's up, my brother? How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm doing wonderful and well. I just want to say acknowledgement. You know, that's the word, acknowledgement. Acknowledgement has a life. It has power. And when you know you're in a situation, that's the acknowledgement, the power for you to get out before any hand swinging and any of that stuff starts to happen. See, love is a spirit. And if you don't stay devout to love, it will expose you. Love ain't just some words. Love has a life. And if you're in love and there's no life on the receiving end, then that means you got to have the power to leave. Acknowledge that and go about your way, because it does happen to men and women. My sisters were some straight gangsters out of L.A., and they used to beat their boyfriends up. I mean, the dude couldn't fight her back. I mean, it wasn't like he was a man and he didn't want to fight back. He couldn't. And then after she beat him up, she cook him something to eat and do all the things a woman should do and tell him to shut up. You understand? So
come
this
on
is
now.
Not, this is serious on both sides. If you don't want to be with somebody, don't be with them. If it's fake love, use your power of the spirit and get out, because the spirit will tell you anytime anything happened, get out. And you and everybody on this phone know it. And that's all I want to say. Most High continue to lead you and bless you.
God bless you, my brother. Well spoken. Well spoken, always. Anybody else? Come on, you got a few more minutes. Dial in right now. Any closing remarks from you today, Minister Carolyn? Okay, we lost her too. The devil is a lie. Amen. But God is good and his mercies endure forever. I thank each and every one of you. Let's continue to grow. Share this information with someone next week. Get them in touch with me. They can do an offline interview with me or with Minister Carolyn or with you. Become one of our roving reporters that is willing to put a voice recorder on your phone and take some interviews. Tell them we keep them their names anonymous, and we just want to hear their stories and maybe their encouragement that they would like other people to hear. But we must continue to grow this broadcast about violence in all, but domestic violence right next door. Family, you are loved. You are honored. You are appreciated. And the most, you know what the most important thing is that you are beautifully made by God. But we must continue to know that this is warfare. This is war. Is somebody willing to claim some war this morning? Well, I am. In the name of Jesus. You can't have my family. You can't have my
together, come on. Put them together. clap your hands, it's a wrap. That's all you got, that's all you got.
Saturday, family. God bless.